I think there's a lot of murky clouds when it comes to education. And I know that's something that you're trying to combat, you know?
Yeah, being able to express myself and do creative work as well, but also give some information back, maybe inspire people.
Yeah.
That's what I enjoy, you know?
If I don't cut hair for too long, I start going crazy.
He loves the hustle and bustle of the shop.
Yeah.
The salon.
It's the only thing that I find therapy in.
Hi, welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony Laban. And we'll be talking to various people in the industry who've made it and their journey and how they got here. Talking honest, cutting through the crap, and making sure your story and their story is heard to help your business and hopefully mine. If you haven't already, please hit the subscribe button, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi there, welcome to another episode of The Noble Barber. I'm Anthony Laban, and I am here at the Great British Barber Bash in Belfast. I'm here with Dino Anthony. Hi, Dino.
Hi.
And Mark Hawthorne.
Hiya.
Who are the owner and the main educator of Paradigm. Welcome. Thank you so much for coming to talk to us.
Thank you.
I think the main reason I wanted to kind of talk to you guys was that I was really interested in what Paradigm were doing, and then I discovered you were in Winchmore Hill. And I'm not being disrespectful to Winchmore Hill, but it's kind of a small, tucked away kind of suburb of North London.
Yeah.
I think it's N21, just to give people an idea of how far out it is. But you've done so many more things. You're global, you've got education, you've got lots going on. And I speak to lots of barbers who have aspirations to take their company in different directions. And I was really interested to see how it started. And how you got involved. So, Dino, if we could start with you. How did Paradigm start with that first Winchmore Hill shop?
Well, it started 6 years ago. We had an idea to open a brand that was more for the barbers rather than the customer. And with that, the customer would have reaped the benefits in the future. So we wanted to start a brand that really cared about the people that worked with the brand, and it was a family. And the whole idea of Paradigm is to set that new example. That's what Paradigm means, to set a new example. And we kind of wanted to allow barbers to do what they wanted to do while still being within the brand, and we helped them get there.
Okay. So your barbers, is it a team of employed barbers, self-employed? Is it an ever-changing face? Are there different people that guest?
So we all our barbers are self-employed. They can choose their work hours, they can work harder, they can work less if they wanted to, but everyone is self-employed. But we have like a really good dynamic of like flexibility within the brand. So if you need to take a day off, like Mark sometimes wants to come back to Belfast to see his family, it's easy to do. Tells us, gives us a heads up and he can go. Right. Nice. There's no.
And so Paradigm started with that, with the first store.
Yeah.
6 years ago, and you've now got four premises.
Yeah.
What was the journey with that? When did number two, number three? How did that process start?
So number two came in COVID, actually, in 2021. So we were in the lockdown between December and April, was it? We kind of thought, you know what, there's nothing better to do. Let's try and get a shop. And there was a guy that joined us just after COVID, the first one finished. And then we thought, you know what, he's from Teddington, let's go and open one down there.
So where's that one?
In Teddington.
Teddington.
Yeah, so really nice area. Again, still a suburban, little town. Our whole idea was if we can do it in these areas, fill up the whole outskirts of London, then we can kind of then start moving inside, you know. But what we've found is since COVID, people are working from home more. So the city I actually moved out to the suburbs now because people are at home and they can work from home. So we're busy all day long now rather than just in the afternoons, you know.
And Mark, when did you jump on board?
So I joined Paradigm about 2.5 years ago. I was just, it goes back a bit longer than that. I actually met Dino and a guy, Ed Hoadley, who's the director of Paradigm Teddington at Barber Bash Liverpool. And we'd been in touch, and I went over and saw the boys just before I went to Australia And I tried to move away from Belfast a couple of times, but it probably wasn't right for me.
Right.
And then I just threw myself into the deep end and went to Australia for about 6 or 7 or 8 months.
Okay.
And worked in a high-end salon over there called Area Studio with Owen McCarthy and Lee Windsor.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that sort of showed me what else I could do within the industry. And then I knew, like, Australia was too far. I'm quite a family-orientated man. Like to see my friends, like to see my family. And I'd reached out to Dino and just said, is there a chance that I can come for some education? And Dino would put it forward to me about joining the team. And I was like, I would love to, because I'd previously got a trim off Dino, a haircut. And it was so welcoming, and so the atmosphere in the shop was just amazing. So when I came over in my place, I came to Teddington as a stylist about 2.5 years ago, and since then I've just worked. Tried to get more into the education, which obviously I've got into. Dino and the boys have given me a lot of opportunities. And from there I've built myself up in the salon to a creative director in Teddington, an educator for the Paradigm Academics. So yeah, 2.5 years ago, but we've done a lot in the 2.5 years.
Yeah, no, and I mean, the Paradigm Academies is really something that threw me, because it's kind of your international bit of Paradigm.
Yeah, yeah.
So when was there a conscious decision to have an academy? Was it a conversation? Did it happen organically?
I think the academy started straight away when we opened. We had a lot of interest from education from beforehand. So
yeah.
When we opened it, we kind of wanted that to be part of the brand.
Yeah.
You know, educate simply, you know. I think there's a lot of murky clouds when it comes to education. And I know that's something that you're trying to combat, you know. And I think trying to make everything simple and not seem so hard, because the amount of students that me and Mark have seen over the years, it's just like, well, they come and they're so anxious to learn. Mm-hmm. And it's what they see on social media. It's what they see other education, like, teams do, you know. And we just wanted to make it simple. Mm. It's not wrong. What other people are doing isn't wrong, but we kind of want to fill the market with that simple but effective kind of
stuff.
And
so what's your background prior to Paradigm? Where did you train, or where were you working?
So I actually got trained by a guy in Arnold's Grove, which is not far from the Winterhill Hill shop. Because I've always lived in that area.
Proper North London.
Proper North London. And then I learned there. He was actually a very, very good barber. He was a hairdresser before.
Oh, okay.
And he used to work for Sassoon's. So he became a barber, opened the barber shop. And I used to go there when I was a kid.
Wow.
And so went there, learned.
And you did
there.
a kind of more traditional kind of apprenticeship with him.
Yeah, yeah. And he was fantastic. He was amazing. Not just in terms of learning, but in terms of how he made me into the person I am today.
As a mentor.
Yeah,
and
yeah, very big mentor to me. And then I left and went and opened the shop straight after. I was about 20 at the time with a business partner. We were quite young, so we thought we'd do it together. And then 6 years later, I had an opportunity to go to Menswell, which, and then done really well there, gave me a lot of opportunities, and worked alongside some amazing hairdressers and people, you know. And then left again, and then started Paradigm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so how does your approach work, sir? So you're much more kind of in control of the education side.
To be fair, like, the reason I'd come was I had saw Dino since I was about 17, so I'm 24 now. So I've been in the industry 8 years this September.
Oh, okay.
So since the start, as I was coming up through college and stuff, Dino was in, like, California, traveling the world with Menspire. And I'd sort of just followed Dino since then. And that was always my dreams and my aspirations, to be able to travel and teach, which obviously today I'm here to do on the stage. But sort of when I joined the company, I was just shadowing Dino and talking to our Italian director, Salvatore, working with Elliot in the Grange Park shop. And it's just a role that we just sort of built up.
But is the way you teach very much the kind of Paradigm way, or is the Paradigm way very much the way you work anyway?
My teaching career would have started with Paradigm, so it would be the way I would teach, you know, like trying to keep it as simple as possible and moving forward.
Yeah.
Like not overcomplicating it, because I found when I was learning, I'd done a lot of courses with a lot of different people, but then that causes a lot of confusion.
Yeah.
You know, where when you simplify men's hair and you understand the shapes and the numeric systems and stuff like that, then it becomes more simpler to achieve. And the only way you know how to do something or you learn to do something is through failure.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, we know that. We know that you've got to take a kick in every now and again. But just slipped in there very kind of discreetly, the Italian director.
Yeah.
So this is the other bit, because Paradigm, you know, I started as it was in Wychmoor Hill, but you have space in Italy, and that's an academy, or is there a barbershop?
It's an academy and a barbershop,
and a store. You also have Romania,
Cluj,
which is the same,
it's the same.
It's been an amazing journey, you know. It all happened organically.
And how's that, having another country to deal with? Is that
Do you know what? It's fairly easy as long as you've got systems in place. It's just time, you know. If they need anything, I'm always there for them. But I like people to stand on their own two feet, you know. It's more of a family rather than there's one guy that owns and calls the shots.
There's never a hierarchy, you know.
No.
Like, for example, obviously Dino's the founder of the company, but anything education at the moment will come to me.
Yeah.
And then I'll rely on Dino. Then if I have a problem or I can't do something, I'll go to Dino, you know, that way. Like, he has to trust.
And are
to
you,
trust
are you
others.
London, Italy and Romania? Are you,
I'm London at the minute, but the plan would be to sort of be between three.
And how do you settle your, how do you work? Are you Wychmoor Hill? Do they let you out of North London occasionally?
No, never. I love cutting hair. The thing is, I don't ever want to stop cutting hair, because for me, it's the only thing that I find therapy in. So if I don't cut hair for too long, I start going crazy. Anyone can tell you.
He loves the hustle and bustle of the shop. The salon. Do you know what I mean?
I love the problems it creates. I love the you know, the feeling that you can give someone. That's what makes me buzz.
Yeah.
And that's why you've got to trust so many people when it comes to like the other parts of the business, because it's like, Mark really enjoys education. And for me, it's like, how do I give him, with the tools that I have, to give him that kind of chance to go and do that himself? Why do I need to control that? I don't.
And do you feel you have that? Because obviously, you know, the commitment that you're having, you've done 2.5 years, you're really focusing on growing a part of Dino's business. Do you feel you have that kind of control and ownership? You're feeling that kind of personal growth as well as
there's never been any doubt that, like, anything I've went to Dino with, it's never been a no. Do you know what I mean? It's like, how do we do it? Or just a yes. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, coming to the Barber Bash in Belfast, I was just like, can we do it, Dino? Yeah, cool. And me and Gary arranged it. I just told Dino he was coming, and then that was it. You know what I mean? There was no questions asked.
But you've been quite involved with the Barber Bash for a long time, haven't you?
Yeah, for a long time. I think 2019.
So was that, that was right at the beginning of Paradigm, presumably?
Yeah, right at the beginning. I taught some of the boys that were running the show a long time ago, I think 2016. And then when I left Mentzbar, because I think it was just before I taught one of the boys, they called me up and were like, do you know what? We want you to come and do the Barber Bash. And I was there, why not? Right.
Excellent. Cool. And brand. Both of you are cutting here today.
Yeah.
Is this something that you just say for Barber Bash? I mean, you went around the world several times with Men's Spire.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Australia and beyond. So, both of you have done that travel.
In the last 2.5 years, in the last 3 years, if you include Australia, I've taught in Sydney, the Gold Coast, and Australia. And then with Paradigm, I've taught in Naples, Romania, Birmingham, Belfast. So this is actually my and Dino's third trip back home. So when I started out, my big thing was, and this is why today is so important, like, to inspire the barbers here, because in Belfast, it's often like, oh, we're from working class areas, we can't do that, we can't do this. But like anyone that knows my personal story, it's like, it's about standing up in the face of adversity. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And that'll be my message on the stage today. It's like, I'm from the Shankill Road, which is 15 minutes north of here. And like, it's one of the, probably the most run down areas in Northern Ireland. But if I can do it, why can't anyone else? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, but there certainly is, I don't know if anyone's aware of it, but there's definitely this kind of growing barber culture in Belfast.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing some really interesting people come through. And, you know, things like this, I think, make it really evident that, you know, people are filling up.
Yeah.
You know, there's definitely an interest. Do you find that switch over? Because like I say, I speak to lots of young barbers and they want this international career. But, you know, you've got to finance it. You've got to, you know, you, at some point, you know, you've got to stand behind the chair, or... You know, you've got to work a way of how you're earning to do this. And as great as it is to fly around the world and do stuff, how did you cope with, how do you cope and your barbers cope with sending them off to Naples and different things?
Do you know what? It's very difficult. It's, anyone that says it's easy is lying. Because for me, if someone knows the way, tell me how, kind of thing. It's very difficult, and the reason being is because you have to kind of, you're out of the shop. You have to organize it all now. That takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
And for me, it's all about time. And money for me is not the most important driver. It's how do I save the most time?
Mm.
And time is something that you can never buy back. So it's the most important thing. And how do you change the world in the shortest amount of time you can, you know? And by doing these trips, it takes money, which means that you have to work in a different way.
Yeah.
And not only that, you can't build your business because you're traveling from here to there, which isn't always profitable, you know? But we do it because we love it, and we do it because we want to make a difference to the world.
Yeah.
And a lot of educators will tell you the same thing. It's not all about the money.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But that's the bit now. So, you know, are you having to? How are you encouraging people to come and do the, you know, approach your style of training and encourage that? Presumably, your courses are booked up and selling, or you wouldn't be continuing to roll them out.
Yeah.
How do you get that message over? We see so many educators, you know, pushing themselves through social media and selling it that way. You don't seem to be pushing it in that way. You know, I mean, you have to hump you out a little bit.
From my aspect, I would sort of be pushing it.
Yeah.
A lot. But like, a lot of our courses in the last year and a half has been word of mouth. You know, someone will come to one of the courses and then they'll recommend someone else. And then when that person comes, it's like, oh, but can you train the shop? Do you know what I mean? And it's like, it has that domino effect going from one-to-one with maybe being a member of the shop till training the whole team of the salon, you know?
And how did it start? Was it, you had some barbers, you taught them your skills, and then it's kind of, it's rolled from there?
So, well, our whole aspect of the way we wanted to do things was, if our education is that good, we shouldn't have to advertise it, right? So, when someone comes to us,
you can almost see that on a billboard.
No, honestly, it's I've always thought, like, it's the same with haircuts. If your haircuts are good enough, people are going to come and bring other people, right? And I've always been busy that way. So why can't the same be with education?
So you're seeing your students as your customers, essentially.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, and they become family. They become part of the
I know you do some short courses for kind of presumably for qualified or trained hairdressers to learn a few different barbering techniques. Yeah. But do you engage with longer, or do you have actual apprenticeships in Paradigm?
No, we don't have any novice.
We don't have any beginners course at the moment. We have apprentices that come through the systems in the shop.
Yeah, so how does that work alongside, because I'm really interested with a company that's all self-employed. And one of the reasons I hear about, oh, we don't have apprentices, is because we're self-employed, I can't bring an apprentice through. How do you cope with that?
Very simple.
Oh, right. That's what I thought. I so thought that was going to be a different answer.
Very simple. You hire the right people that care, you know? Like, we've got a guy called Elliot and Eddie's in the Grange Park shop, which is in Winchmore Hill, and that they care a lot about everything that goes on because they're part of the brand, you know?
And this is a young barber learning to cut from scratch.
Yeah, so Merdan's been with us for about 2.5 years. Eddie's was taught by us. He was an apprentice. We've taught about 6-7 apprentices.
Okay.
So they just, I think because you teach, even Elliot came in as a hairdresser, never had a background in barbering. We've taught him, so he appreciates that kind of... Yeah.
And as an apprentice, are they working? I mean, presumably the apprentices are self-employed, they're needing to cut at a reduced rate a deal and that kind of stuff. But are they getting their training from across the team that everyone's around? It's like, oh, look, let me help you out here and
everyone,
that kind of stuff.
Everyone.
So it's quite loose, but
if they want like intense one-to-one training, it's also available.
Yeah.
As long as they ask for it, or they come and we'll put on a day for the staff, or if they maybe want to do a specific thing, then they can come to me or Dino or Elliot and ask for it, and we can put that on for them.
Are you finding that you're getting more hairdressers that want barbering techniques, or barbers that have done maybe some novice, courses?
I think it's a bit of both.
How's the mix?
Everyone wants to be able to approach everything and understand, you know. Everyone wants to have a better understanding of her. Just to her across the board, you know? Like, hairdressers want to know how to fade. Yeah. Barbers want to know how to do longer hair.
Yeah.
So there's that balance of hair that's covering all aspects, you know?
Yeah. But also, you cross over in afro hair as well. Do you both? Or is it you both? Because that, I think, has been really interesting. You know, I've been barbering a long time.
Yeah.
And there were definitely those two separate camps. There was the hairdressers. If you wanted a longer look, you went to the hairdressers. Yeah, you went to a kind of, a black or an afro barber shop, and that was that culture. And you went to the old man Joe, short back and sides, this is all you get. They were really demarked camps, which still exist, and that's great. But there seems to be a real tribe of barbers and hairdressers now, like in the last, maybe even the last 2 or 3 years, that just see it as hair.
Isn't it?
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not seeing... The barriers have gone.
I think for me, when I was coming through my apprenticeship and coming through the industry from about 16 till 20, where I left Belfast, was like, people would avoid longer hair. They would avoid afro hair, skin fade. Some people would enjoy longer hair. And I think for me, and part of the reason I joined Paradigm and went on the further education courses that I did was I wanted to be a barber or a men's hairdresser that covers all hair types that sat in my chair, and anyone could sit in my chair.
Because
at the end of the day, it's more profitable. But then also I knew I wanted to get into education, and then I can teach all hair types, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's important for me.
And
it's
is that
also
something
important
are you
for your
finding
confidence.
More? Do you run kind of afro barbering courses?
Yeah, they're available within the company, yeah.
Oh, cool. Oh, nice one. Yeah. But you were doing that a long time ago, weren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, but did you know that?
I do an element of research along here.
Yeah.
But, you definitely, ahead of the curve, were just seeing it as hair. You didn't see that demarcation.
I used to get my haircut from an Afro-Caribbean barber. So for me, it was more like, if I want that, then other people must want that.
Yeah.
So when I was learning when I was being taught by the guy that taught me when I was an apprentice, I would actually go to the Afro-Caribbean barbershop, which was actually down the road from the, literally 2 seconds from the shop that we've got now. And I used to go and sweep the floor just watching him cut hair. So I think the kind of thought process with Afro hair is that it's different, and it is, but it's not that much different. The techniques are still the same. Mm. You've just got to practice on it a little bit more, all right? It's not harder, it's actually easier. It's just a little bit different. And anyone that's scared to do it, because I see it all the time, we've taught so many people, and they're like, oh, I don't want to really do Afro hair. And I'm like, but why? Oh, I've never done it before. And
it's a real fear factor for a lot of guys.
And I get it. because it's the unknown, right? But for me, it's like, you can't, you've got to be like water, as Bruce Lee said. You've got to be fluid.
Yeah.
Right? You can't
oh,
be...
Oh, another Bruce Lee quote on here.
Sorry.
This is a first. Well done.
My idol. Yeah, so...
No, but I think that's really good. And it is certainly becoming more evident. And you're seeing this from your courses, presumably. Yeah. They sell out well. But do you, are you confronted with that fear from your students when they arrive doing their first afro hair? And
it's definitely afro hair. It's across all aspects of hair as well. You know, some people fear longer hair because they don't know how it's going to turn out, or they've had a bad experience with longer hair before, or it could be skimpy in general,
and,
you know?
And you were saying, which I've got to say I do tend to agree with, and I'm always worried, it's because, you know, I trained a long time ago. I'm surprised at how over complicated sectioning has become in the last kind of maybe year, 9 months. I mean, I think sectioning's important. We teach and, you know, clean, sharp sectioning is important. But it seems to have become really complex all of a sudden. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Too much.
And it's all long hair.
Comes from social media, you know, people... showing stuff that might not be necessary to do in that situation, and then younger barbers getting the fear because they don't understand it. Or they don't understand what's going on, you know?
Yeah. Listen, if I make something look complicated, right, it will sell more because you're wondering why you're doing that and I'm not.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So the more complicated something looks, the more it sells courses, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because you're wondering why someone's doing that section.
But you know, as you're saying from yours, the keep, you know, taking it back to a more kind of core value is getting that information over better.
Yeah.
You can see people leaving.
Yeah. And I think for me, like, the reason I believe in the way we teach and the systems is because when I came, I was probably still lacking some confidence within my cutting ability, and then working with Dino and Elliot, and then I actually went Naples last year even to spend some days with Salvatore. Like, the way they taught me, I can then teach others, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, them systems are the way I've built up my confidence and the way I can go on stage today.
But there's a huge difference to being, you know, a good cutter.
Yeah.
The teaching someone. Okay. Yeah. And that's the bit, I mean, I trained first and then I retrained to teach.
Yeah.
Because it is a different skill, and I don't think that's in such a kind of formed way anymore. There's not a kind of train the trainer course out there.
Yeah.
It does feel like you kind of get to a stage and you're like, oh, I might as well teach this. But you felt with Paradigm that you grew more into your confidence about to teach, because it is confidence teaching, a real kind of sense ownership and knowing.
It's one thing cutting on the shop floor, but then for me, getting in the position where you feel valuable enough to charge someone £500 a day for one-to-one education.
Yeah.
For me, there has to be then a responsibility on you to be able to explain it properly and not just be taking the money from them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think that's it. And I think there's a real confidence that comes from teaching simple. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? I think if you complicate, I've heard a lot of people kind of bluff over, and I'm like, hang on a minute, you missed a bit out there. And they're kind of, yeah, and then you just and the kind of complications of language when you're then taking Romania and Italy. Does you find that your approach makes that more workable, as it cuts across language barriers that you're showing, and it's like, oh yeah, I can see what you're doing, it makes sense.
Yeah. We see that a big problem when we go to the shows, for example, in Italy. We always kind of, we saw the interpreters and they were actually getting it wrong.
Oh, really?
We were told this by a lot of the students that we've previously taught. So now that we don't need the interpreters because we've got the Italian team now, then they can kind of do that. And if we need to go, then we go and we get an interpreter, but then we're like, we kind of know the terms now. We've kind of taught it ourselves. So it's like, the language barriers are really small. When you cut hair, the language is hair, you know?
Yeah. But here, so, I mean, how have you found that Naples and whereabouts in Romania is there?
Cluj. Yeah. Amazing city, by the way.
Do you find that those are local? Are they kind of local barbers that are using your courses there? Are they just as popular as your courses here? Is it growing? How's that work?
I think in London we get a lot of people from all over England, all over Ireland, Northern Ireland. And even in Italy, like, the people are traveling to Naples, and even in Romania, they travel to the area that the shop's in. Do you know what I mean?
And it's building in the same way as it has here, word of mouth.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, the educator, whether it's me or Salvatore or Steve, anyone who's teaching, like, we'll do our own content on social media. And essentially, like, some courses will come through us. Do you know what I mean? A lot of my one-to-ones, they'll message my Instagram. Do you know what I mean? But at the same time, the Paradigm Academics Instagram gets a lot of messages saying, oh, I'm interested in your education. You taught such and such last week. How can I go about getting on a course? Do you know what I mean?
It's nice. I like that. I like that a lot. So it's kind of almost feels a bit accidental, your career, if you don't mind me saying that.
Well,
that you kind of opened up this brilliant shop. You had this amazing career. You opened up this shop, which, you know, you're very much like me. I love cutting hair. I've been cutting hair 40 years. I still run a full column. You know, I hate moving out of the shop. I love being in the store. And that's essentially what I do. And I have team members who run the company so that I can, essentially, as I always say, just cut hair. And I really love that, which is obviously your core heart. But you then, encountered the guy you've opened up in Teddington.
Yeah.
Did Romania and Italy happen the same way? It was an encounter with someone that you've kind of gone, yeah, let's do something? Yeah. Or was that you were approached to?
The thing is, I definitely wouldn't say it was an accident. It was definitely...
That wasn't meant to be insulting.
No, not at all.
Organic, maybe.
Yeah, organic, but it was kind of a thought process. We were always talking about building this brand that was for the barbers. And it happened organically, but we were always talking about how we were going to do it, you know? And if I keep on telling you, do you want to open a shop, Mark? Do you want to open a shop, Mark?
Yeah.
If we want, let me know. Yeah. Whenever you want to do it, let me know. I'll put money in.
Yeah.
We can do it, right? Or you put the money in. This is how it works, right?
Yeah.
Then one day, Mark comes to me and says, oh, do you know what? I want to do it. Then we do it. If he doesn't want to do it, then fine. How do we still help him?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the main thing, is how do we help, not just in a selfish manner, but in an unselfish manner at the same time.
Yeah, I think it goes more beyond business, a Paradigm. And I think that's why I've been able to stay for 2.5 years. You know, like I said, I'm a very family-oriented person. I love getting home.
Yeah.
And like, I know there's been times I've sat with Dino and be like, I don't know if I can do London anymore.
Yeah.
And it's never, okay, well, that's it. Do you know what I mean? It's how can we help you? What can we do?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? What can he do for me? You know, and I think that's why the track record of the staff at the company stay for so long, is because it goes beyond cutting hair just behind the chair or your turnover every month, your margins, you know? It's about the person, and it's personal.
And you've got
good,
your staff, your team stay with you. You've got long-term people with you still.
Green Park.
Still since the start.
Yeah, that's
amazing.
Yeah, so it's a family.
No, that is amazing. And I think I am speaking to more and more people that are seeing that you need to look after the teams, that you need to, that it's not just, you're renting a chair, you do. There definitely seems to be this kind of swing back of family's a great word, that you're thinking about your staff as a client, as a customer, which obviously from the beginning of Paradigm, that was something that was very core in you.
Yeah, very core. As Mark said, family is the most important thing, right? We had a conversation before, and what did you say? Time with the family is important.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, mate. Yeah? I mean, I completely get that, and I agree. I was only saying on the flight over today that, you know, I'm definitely time poor these days.
Yeah.
You know, and missing that. And, you know, getting time rich and the bank account being okay is a really difficult game. And it's my fault. You know, I'm doing things that I enjoy, and I'm sure you feel the
same. That's the main thing.
And my team are people that I love working with. You know, I really enjoy being part of that. Where does the growth carry on for you? Like I say, I meant accidental, because London, Romania, Naples, it's not a natural triangle.
Yeah.
But I love it. But do you see more happening in Romania, more happening in Italy?
Definitely.
More London, have you got?
We've already started talking about it. Again, we have to do it with a structure, right? We don't want to just go and open shops just to open a shop. It has to be part of that family, have that person needs to understand that family feel. Yeah, yeah. If they don't, then that can't happen, yeah. Because that's the main thing. But yeah, the next thing that me and Mark have been working on for the last, how long, Mark?
Long time.
Way too long.
Oh, really?
Numerous yeah. mornings in the shop to 3, yeah. 4 in the morning.
Way too long. Yeah, so we want to bring education to more and more people that can't generally afford maybe to come and spend the money to come on the course, the accommodation, the travel, because it's sure. not just the course that we provide to them. They have to come for their food, their drink, their accommodation, yeah, their travel. And when you add that all up, it could cost $4,000-$5,000 when you're out of the shop, when you're, you know, so it could cost a lot of money. And it's not, most of the cost doesn't come from our courses. So we thought, how do we get that education to more and more people to enrich the barber community? And we thought, okay, let's do some online education, but teaching our core fundamentals, you know?
It's like an insight into our intensive 3 days, but online.
Yeah.
You know, and that'll be the building base for our online academy.
Yeah. Oh, how fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Today, if you're watching when we're on stage, you'll get a preview of it.
I definitely will. So that's full circle then.
Yeah.
You've now kind of, that's you've got the stores, you've got the academies, you've got the barbers, and now the online.
Yeah.
Is that going to see us being more of paradigm online? Are we going to see your social media change and everything else to be more of an online presence?
Our social media strategy and approach will change. Yeah. You might see us a lot more. You might get sick of us that much.
Yeah. No, but that's great.
Yeah, definitely.
And things like this, are there more of this to come? Do you enjoy being on stage? Is that something that you think comes back to the shop or comes back to your soul?
I would say I enjoy being on stage.
Yeah, excellent.
Like, I enjoy traveling. Obviously, I'm hyped up today because today means so much to me later on.
Yeah.
Being able to express myself and do creative work as well, but also give some information back, maybe inspire people.
Yeah.
That's what I enjoy, you know?
Oh, I love it. And you're still cutting behind the chair?
Yeah, I'm in the shops 5-6 days a week.
Oh, mate. And how much are you behind the chair?
The same.
Yeah. You are? Yeah, I like that. See, everyone else, I keep talking to so many people who want to give up being behind the chair, and that's not me
either.
I'll
be behind the chair until I'm 90. If
I'll
last have
you back
that long.
I'll be the
if
oldest in your video. Yeah.
I think I would like to do less days.
Yeah.
Boys, I think that's been a brilliant chat. Yeah. I've really enjoyed it.
I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much
for
your time.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Mark. Well, I mean, I think if you haven't checked out the Paradigm Boys, please do. They are on stage here in Belfast, and I'm sure there'll be clips to be seen. They really are an interesting approach, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how your training structure comes over online. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
Really enjoying it. I've been the Noble Barber, and we've been at the Belfast Great British Barber Bash. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. We're always looking for interesting people and interesting stories. If you know someone or you are someone with a great story that you want to share, get in touch and come join me on the sofa. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the episode, and we'll see you next time.